We have two stories today of Silicon Valley bred industries running into government limits. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Good morning. Uber now says it will not reclassify its drivers as employees in California in defiance of a new state law passed this week. This law sets out strict rules for when companies label their workers as independent contractors, rules which Uber and other gig economy companies are widely acknowledged not to meet. But Uber asserts the new law does not apply to them, plans a court fight, and is pooling millions of dollars with Lyft and DoorDash to fund a campaign to ask California voters to decide the matter. Here's Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino from our Workplace Culture Desk.
Employee status has some pretty obvious pluses for Uber driver John Knopf in Los Angeles.
I'm an everyday driver. I've done like 5,900 something rides.
Despite driving more than full time, he currently doesn't have any benefits.
I haven't had health insurance in years. I just brush my teeth and floss and make sure I eat salads every day.
Securing benefits like health care, minimum wage, and unemployment for drivers like Knopf could be a game changer, says Harry Campbell, who runs the Rideshare Guy blog.
The full-time drivers who are basically working just like employees without any of the benefits, I think they have the most to gain.
But the majority of drivers on the platforms aren't full-time, according to his surveys and data from Uber and Lyft. They're more like Robert Rodriguez, a full-time tax preparer who just drives on the side.
I do about 20 hours a week just to unwind.
Rodriguez is worried about becoming an employee. He's already gotten a message from Lyft that they could soon start scheduling shifts or requiring hours, something that wouldn't work for him. While there's nothing in the law that would prevent the companies from maintaining flexible work arrangements, keeping a large number of infrequent drivers just isn't sustainable with the increased costs of benefits, payroll taxes, and Social Security, says Chris Thornburg of Beacon Economics.
So you would have to have people working more hours and fewer of them.
His firm worked on a report for Lyft that found the company would need to cut as many as 270,000 drivers from the platform in California if they switched to a full-time employment model. And that could have effects for consumers, says Paul Oyer, an economist at Stanford.
I'm not sure that rideshare, as we've come to know and enjoy it, is going to continue to exist.
A report from Morgan Stanley estimated fares could increase by up to 25% for consumers. And Oyer says a smaller pool of more regular drivers means it could take a little longer to find a ride. You know, kind of like hailing a cab. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Let's check the markets. The FTSE index in London is little change. The Dow future here is down 0.2%. S&P future down 0.1%. The Trump administration will ban flavored electronic cigarettes, at least temporarily. That's after an outbreak of a mysterious lung disease that's left at least six people dead and sickened hundreds more, mainly younger people. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us from Washington. Nancy, this isn't quite a ban. What do we know this morning?
Well, the FDA is going to tell e-cigarette makers they have to take flavored e-cigarettes off the market, but they can then apply for approval and try to prove to the FDA that their product is safe.
This industry is worth already tens of billions of dollars. Remind us how it got so big so fast.
It really took off when Juul Labs was founded in 2017. It was created by two Stanford grad students. They were smokers. And they wanted to create a safer alternative to cigarettes, a way for smokers to quit. John Pierce, a cancer prevention professor at UC San Diego, says at first, e-cigarettes seemed like a major breakthrough.
Many public health researchers drank the Kool-Aid, as I call it, and promoted these products widely. The companies then dramatically increased the nicotine dose that the products provided.
And David Pierce says the public health community was split on e-cigarettes. He says e-cigs got on the market very quickly without being regulated because the medical community was excited about getting people off of regular cigarettes.
I was just looking at flavors of e-cigarettes, watermelon, strawberry milk, strawberry lemonade. I mean, that must be part of the way that e-cigarettes became so popular with teenagers.
Exactly. And critics say these flavors were designed to appeal to teenagers. The e-cigarette makers say they were trying to minimize the offensiveness of tobacco for e-cigarette users and those around them.
Nancy, thanks for this. Now to moves toward a resolution of an intense labor versus management standoff in the energy industry. For 7 weeks, coal miners in Harlan County, Kentucky have stood on the rail lines and blocked coal from going to market until they get paid. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
The miners and the mining company Black Jewel are in good faith negotiations, according to a document filed by the two sides in federal court. Back in July, Black Jewel declared bankruptcy and bounced paychecks for more than 1,000 miners. Miners then blocked coal trains from leaving a Kentucky mine. The issue is in bankruptcy court, but now attorney Ned Pillersdorf, representing the miners, says it's time to talk a deal.
If you're a wage earner in bankruptcy court, it's like being in a funeral home. Nobody leaves happy. And what I would like to do is get these out-of-work miners fully compensated for the work they did.
He says the miners are tired. But as the coal sits there, time is working against Black Jewel, too, says Clark Williams-Derry at the Sightline Institute think tank.
The coal cards are open. The coal just sort of degrades with weather and time and exposure to the sun. So the longer it sits there, the less the coal itself is worth.
Still, he says, even if the two sides agree to ship the coal and pay the workers, it's unclear if Black Jewel mines will reopen in Kentucky, Virginia, and West Virginia. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And before we go, 2 summers ago, the U.S. cracked down on rich Russian influentials in response to Moscow's meddling in the U.S. presidential election. The U.S. Treasury Department had issued a list of oligarchs who could be banned from entering the U.S. or to have assets frozen. A scientist entrepreneur on that list sued, saying he was no oligarch. He's now settled the case, where it emerged that the U.S. Treasury got its list of oligarchs by copying names from an article in Forbes magazine. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.